please turn around and have small groups and don't leave anyone alone. Turn them in to your group and discuss it together and share. I give you 2 minutes, please. Saints. Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I can see you have a lot to share with each other. May you give something you want to say for all of us, what came out from your conversation. Please. Just quickly.
This is my opinion, okay? I don't think any human being should be called a saint in the sense that God is perfect and holy, and no human being could ever come close to that.
Uh-huh.
So that the idea of a saint offends me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The apostle Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But for some people, what you said might be offensive, especially for people of Catholics. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Any comment, Martina? So would you say there are saints here this morning?
Yes, because I believe that the young lady is quite correct when she quotes the scripture.
Okay.
That we are, in that sense, saints. Yes.
Okay.
To call somebody Saint Paul,
yeah.
Saint Hippolyte.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Now I ask Don to come and read for us the scripture.
The reading this morning comes from John, the Apostle of John, chapter 21, verse 1 to 17. You can find that on the Bibles, in the Red Church Bibles, on page 1090. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they weren't far from the shore, about 100 metres. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish in it and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, now we ask you, open our hearts to your word and give us a word for our hearts. Amen. A group of us was there, John reported, and a very human group they were, gathered on the beach. Simon Peter was there, still suffering from his hangover of his denial. He was not quite back where he used to be, but praise the Lord, he was there. The fact that Peter was there encourages me. That is why I feel at home with my fellow Christians, like this morning, because Peter was there. And John mentioned Peter first, because after resurrection, it was directed that the news of the open tomb should be told first of all to his disciples, including Peter. This we read in Mark chapter 16. Jesus singles out those who are haunted with failure, geplagt von unserem Versagen, and some of us are in that category. As a church elder, I'm haunted by things I have failed to do, things I have done badly, failures in my relationship with my dear wife, concerns I have not felt for brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, when you are haunted like that, you are mentioned first. Thomas was there, perhaps the next in priority. What problems he had, all sorts, theological and otherwise. On the day of resurrection, what if he had written a book, as other theologians have, doubting the empty tomb? Yes, he was there on the beach too. And Nathanael was there. Do you remember the man under the fig tree, the one who said, "Can there anything good come from Nazareth?" Yes, some of us have doubts too. I know, I get them. But he is there in that group on the beach, this Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, with all his doubts. My brother James was there, wrote John, and I was there. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus called them sons of thunder. Do you know why? Some of us have moments when we thunder, maybe in meetings. Very evangelical we are. But we can also lose our tempers when we object to certain things or run into misunderstandings. A very human group gathered by the lake that day. Therefore, in the beginning, I ask you to share about saints. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they all went with him. This fishing trip was taken out of pure frustration. Peter probably felt, "Why can't we get away from it all? The atmosphere is so heavy and nothing seems to lighten up. The past has been so frustrating, the present is very uncertain, and the future is threatening. It's all so dark. Why don't we go fishing? At least we will get some fresh air." So they all went fishing. And remember, all this happened after resurrection. It is just when times should be wonderful that we usually run into problems. Sometimes after a successful event, we get into the dumps. Wir sind niedergeschlagen. Yes, after tremendous experiences, we can feel like getting away from it all. So they went out on the lake. All night they did their best and ended up with nothing. They went out to cure frustration, but they only added frustration to frustration. And this is what usually happens when we want to run away. Then, when they had reached the stage of utter frustrations, they saw a man standing on the beach. He was exactly what they needed. They had lost contact with a man of Calvary, and that loss completely emptied their resurrection for them. The resurrection for them, totally frustrating their every effort. They hadn't realized that in their dark hours that night, he had been with them. He had promised he was going to be with them, but they had forgotten this. So they saw the man standing on the beach, but they couldn't recognize him. He was too distant. Maybe the air was misty in the morning. He was too distant. This was part of their problems. They had missed the fellowship, the intimacy with the Lord, which gave meaning to their ministry, their theology as well, and their experience. When he is missed, then activities are just activities, pure routine. He called to them, "Any fish, boys?" It was a voice calling them back into relationship. He was not addressing them as failures, as people who have messed up the ministry. No. There is familiarity here. He is still at home with them, even in their failures. I think as Christians we need to relearn the lesson of grace. Here was his grace meeting their failures, because that was exactly what they needed. They needed a new encounter, a fresh meeting, not with an angel, but with a man one who understands. Have you caught any fish, boys? It took grace to confess it. But recovery began at that point when they said to him frankly, no. That no is always the key to blessing. I know how many times I evaded to say no. Ich habe mich darum gedrückt. It is an embarrassing no, ein peinliches nein, particularly when I thought I knew what I have to do. These men were better fishermen than Jesus. They were experts in the business of in catching fish. And they thought they knew what to do. Yet they had to confess that after fishing all night long, they had caught nothing. Their nets remained empty. Without him, even missions and campaigns, despite good methods, remain empty. No, Lord, we have nothing. No rebuke came, and it didn't come later. Some of us would have lectured the disciples and given them a long lesson on what they should have done. There was no rebuke from him. Failure itself rebukes better than any sermon. When we fail, we know it. And we don't need a preacher to remind us. The Lord understood. He knew the disciples had enough. What does he say to them? Will you please put your nets out on the right side? Then you will get fish. They were too weak by then not to obey. We sometimes are too strong to obey. It takes failure to make some men obedient. Then, with failure staring them in the face, give them any suggestion and they will go for it. Here we see, faith is weakness hanging on to strength. The lessons of failure make us more dependent on the Lord, more obedient than success often does. Then these men dropped the nets and the fish were caught. So simple and so wonderful. After their first trip, their nets were all right. The methods were also all right. Something else was missing, something more essential. It was the power of him who rose from the dead. He enabled the weak to cope with whatever needed to be done. John said, "Ah, it's the Lord." Then Peter, with his usual quickness, jumped into the water and swam to the master with excitement. But we ask, how could he, the guilty one, have gone like that? The one who had denied was encouraged by the man of Galilee. Peter realized, he still loves me. He cares. He is concerned. I can go, almost naked as I am, to the master. The Lord told them to bring the fish out. But they didn't eat the fish they had caught. He already had fish ready for them. And his fish were better than their fish. They didn't have to depend on their little efforts. They had breakfast and beautiful fellowship. He spoke to them, fed them, served them fish and bread. That was wonderful. They were back to normal. And what a change that was. We Christians need to get back to normal. But we get so abnormal with our activities. We are so full of worries and anxieties because our successes are so few. Everything around us smells of failure. We need to relax in the normal activity of the Master. Now, after the delicious breakfast, fresh grilled fish, delicious, it's time to go home to the market and sell the fish, then back to the family and have a nap after the exhausting long night. Immediately, when all is normal again, Jesus begins to talk to Peter. He takes them aside. Peter, come. Let's go a few yards. Simon, do you love me? If he had spoken to the still hungry, still frustrated Peter, the poor man would have been terribly bewildered. Do you also feel sorry when truth is thrown at people at the wrong time? But the Lord is very patient to wait for the right moment. What he did first was to create the right atmosphere. He fed Peter, accepted him, loved him, restored him. And then he asked, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. All right. Then I allow you to do something for me. Here the word of challenge, the word of help, becomes a healing word. It is not truth thrown at a frustrated man. It is truth spoken in love to a man who is restored. And since Peter is now confident of his love, whatever Jesus now speaks to him in love is healing, restoring, reassuring. Do we do it that way? Again, do you love me? Yes. It was getting deeper. All right. You do something for me. And then, do you really love me? Now Peter was challenged and convicted by the question. It was not a question about methods or successes. It was, do you love me? You, Peter, do you love me? Jesus asked nothing about activity, but rather about personal relationship. That is what had gone wrong, the relationship. And now to restore it, the Lord refocused Peter's attention on himself. And this is tonic. Das ist stärkend for us all. Now we have to listen to this conversation very attentive. Literally, we don't hear in this passage anything about forgiveness of sin. But Jesus' threefold question is full of mercy and forgiveness. But Jesus does not forgive Peter only to restore his inner peace of his soul. At the same time, Peter is given here three times an instruction, a command, an order to care for the others who are in need. It is a misunderstanding of forgiveness if we see it only as salvation of our soul. Wir kümmern uns nur um unser eigenes Seelenheil, we say in German. In the Bible, forgiveness is something different. It is the total restoration, die Wiederherstellung of a person for being able to be available for other people. The burden of guilt and sin has dangerous consequences for us. It becomes a ballast which paralyzes us. We try to escape and turn away around us and turn around ourselves with self-pity and self-accusation. You remember Peter, after his denial, it is said he wept bitterly. Oh, what have I done? I'm hopeless. I'm useless. Sin drives us into loneliness, We despise and even hate other people. And being occupied with all this, we are not able to serve others. From all this, we will be set free through His forgiveness. Only by receiving forgiveness, we can really be free for others. Therefore, Graf Zinzendorf, the founder of the German Brethren Church, could say, "Um mich selbst habe ich mich ausbekümmert. No more worries about myself anymore." Because he knew he cares for me. Today, Jesus asks, "Do you really love me? Even if no one else accepted me, do you really love me sufficiently? That when you speak about me, is it a ministry or a privilege? Are you willing to go and enjoy my presence and sharing me with others? Loving my word like a time bomb in people's hearts. Leaving my word like a time bomb in people's hearts to burst within them whenever I choose? Are you ready to feed my flock? Lord, let me be a shining light in all I say and do, that your great love displayed in me may lead someone to you."